Good morning. I'm so ashamed to come to you in this condition. But I hope that you will bear with me. It wasn't good for the last few days. It was bad last night before the dinner. After the dinner, was worse. But by the grace of God, words still come out of my lips. I hope the Lord will give me grace. If you can't hear, please raise your hand. I'll try to speak a little slower. I send you greetings from our brethren in Singapore, especially Pastor Isaac. I think he remembers all of you in prayer. And trust that God will continue to bless your work here in Vancouver. As I was speaking to Elder Xiao, it's never easy to do the work of the Lord. It needs much patience and certainly much prayer, much zeal, much perseverance, never giving up. Just hang on there, and God will, in His time, allow you to reap the fruit of your labor. I'm thankful for the hymn that we just sung, above thine own ambitions here. And I trust that will be another voice this morning sounding out clear. It is that call of God to you. Oh, leave thine all and follow me. That's the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded here by the words of Derek Bonhoeffer, the German martyr, not too long ago. He died in 1945. He said, when the Lord Jesus Christ called his disciples, He called them to die. And that's what exactly God is calling us to do. This morning, God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. God wants a living sacrifice out of every one of us. And like the chairman says, we are familiar with that verse there in Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you have been in church for the last 1 or 2 years, probably that has been the verses that you have been told to remember, to memorize. But I trust that God's word would just not affect you, only in your memory, but beloved, more so, your heart, your life. This morning, we're going to talk about presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. Presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice. I think we are very familiar with sacrifices in the Old Testament. This is something that we read all the time in the Old Testament. We are familiar with it. It is not a pretty sight to see these animals being slaughtered, killed, with his blood splashing out, with the animal perhaps screaming in pain. It's not a pretty sight. But nevertheless, that's exactly what we have been called to do right now in this period of grace. We are to present ourselves as a sacrifice. So let's turn back once again to our text this morning. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As Paul comes to the end of his writing to the Roman Christians, he calls upon them to give themselves to God. I know from chapter 12 onwards to the end of the chapter of Romans, these are chapters of practical application to what he has been teaching them the last 11 chapters of Romans. They are to appropriate the gifts that God has given to them and to serve and to distribute and to love and to do these things as Christians. But I like what John Piper said, that before we give ourselves away in mercies to men, serving them, giving to them, distributing to them, we give ourselves away in worship to God. Before we give ourselves away in mercies to men, we give ourselves away in worship to God. And that's right at the very heart and the beginning of this verse in Romans chapter 12. Let me read again. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If we can understand this verse, not in King James language, it would be that we are to present ourselves doing these things to be given to God, because these things that we are giving to God, it is our form, our act of worship. And beloved, you are here in worship. What do we do in worship services? What's the purpose of our prayers? What's the purpose of our intercession? What's the purpose of our praising of these hymns that we sing? What's the purpose of our giving? We do this because this is an act of worship that we are giving to God. It is all about God. I know people come to worship and hope that they get a dose of God's word that will enable them to go through another week. There are people who come to church and hope that they will just be lifted up, be revived, be refreshed, be energized, so that the week that is before them will be smooth sailing. But beloved, we are here for worship because we want to present all this to God. It's all about God. And let's always be reminded in that. And the best thing that we can do in your act of worship to God, it's here pronounced for us in Romans 12, verse 1. Presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice. And this must come through a willing heart. You know, God can demand from every one of us obedience. God can demand from every one of us everything that we have to be given to Him. Because after all, He is our Creator. After all, He is the one who has made us, sustained us, fed us, protected us, defended for us. But here Paul says, I beseech you. the Apostle Paul, who has been instrumental in leading these Roman Christians to the saving knowledge of Christ. He went down on his knees, as it were, and said, I beg of you, I plead with you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. But here is not just Paul beseeching them. If you just turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let me read verse 19 and verse 20. To we that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. But now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And in the same way, Paul, when he was talking to the Roman Christians, he was just there pleading with them, as if God is pleading with them, as if God is begging them, give me your heart. And we are familiar with that verse there in Proverbs. And it could be Solomon writing to his son, saying, my son, give me your heart. But it could well also be God pleading with his people, give me your heart. Paul, the great apostle, greatly regarded, respected, but some of these Christians who love him so much because he has spent and has spent his all on ministry, giving his life in teaching them, writing to them, praying for them daily, day by day. If you read some of his letters, every first chapter of his addressing these Christians, he always remembers them in prayer, every day. Always. That's the heart of the Apostle Paul. And when they see the Apostle Paul, they see him as not just a man of God, but a spiritual father, a shepherd, one who hath a pastoral heart in caring, in loving, in nursing, in nourishing, in so many ways, wanting them to love God and to serve God and to be in the will of God. But more than that, we see God condescending to our level. I beseech you. On what ground? He says, by the mercies of God. And this is something that we have to always think about, beloved. Never forget the mercies of God. Why we are here in the first place. If not for the mercies of God, we would be out there with the heathens, with the pagans. We would be indulging in our sins. We would be drowning in our sorrows. And we will be damned in hell. You know, Paul, writing to the Ephesian Christians, brings this out very, very strongly, talking about the mercies of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Again, these are familiar verses, but this part of God's word ought to dawn on us again. Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." That's the mercies of God. I mean, some of you may have been converted 20, 30, 40 years ago. But this part of our Christian life must never be forgotten. The day he saved us. The day he softened our heart. The day he drew us by his love. The day his spirit convicted us. The day we broke down in repentance of our sins. The day he turned us around. The day he translated us from darkness into his marvelous light. The day we were made the children of God. No more strangers. No more enemies of God. No more far away from the Almighty God, but drawn nigh, so close to him through his beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ. By the mercies of God. When Paul explained this to the Roman Christians, taking them step by step through all these doctrinal truths of the scriptures, which truths that we must fully grasp. You know, pastors like to come to the pulpit and say, "Beloved congregation, I'm not going to talk to you about doctrines. They're just too tough." So really, if you want to ask that question to the pastor, so what do you teach? If you don't teach doctrine, what do you teach? I know there are big names when it comes to doctrines. Well, you may remember, maybe try to remember them. You may forget them, some of those big words. But I hope that we will never forget those truths of God's word that have affected us so greatly, each one. Especially in the matter of salvation. When he saved us from all our sins. When he cleaned our lives inside out. When he dwells within us. When he takes residence in us. Beloved, this will blow our mind away. A God who fills the universe. In fact, Solomon in his prayer says, "The heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much more this temple that I built." I mean, it may be so beautifully built, spend much money building that temple. And Solomon says, "God, this is nothing." And what about us? that we have become the temple of God. So Paul, beseeching the Roman Christians, and I hope that we are ourselves persuaded to know it, to respond to it, and therefore Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, to lay yourself on the altar. Not a dead sacrifice. God is no longer interested in dead sacrifices. In fact, those verses again we read there in Psalm 50. Let's turn back to Psalm 50. Let me just highlight a few things there. I'm glad it was read out this morning. That was in my mind. Look at Psalm 50, verse 7 onwards. God speaking, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices and thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, and drink the blood of goats?" That's not what God is interested in. That's not what God is interested in. But here is spelled out the interests and the desire of God. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. That's a sacrifice that God wants. A living sacrifice. A sacrifice that is not just alive, but a sacrifice that ought to be continual. It's just living. If it is dead, it's done. It's done with. It's thrown away. It's ashes. It's blown away. That's it. That's the end of the sacrifice. But if it is a living sacrifice, it is continual. It is day by day. It is moment by moment. That's a sacrifice that God wants from you and from me. So we cannot say, "I've done so much and that's it. I've given so much today and that's it. I'll serve God every Sunday, but the rest of the day is my day." No, no, no. It is something that we have to do daily. Not just daily, it is something that we have to do moment by moment. Always conscious of God. Always conscious that whatever we are, whoever we are, or wherever we are, our sacrifice ought to be presented to the Lord daily. And we wish that it will be acceptable daily. Our words, our action, our life, our thoughts. Now the psalmist says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God." You think that it's only on the Sabbath? No, it's every day. When we think of the psalmist saying all those words to the psalmist, it is something that he does every day. "I set the Lord always before me." So, beloved, are we part-timers or are we full-timers? There was a pastor who preached to a large church, and he And he asked a question to the congregation. How many of you are full-time? Hardly any hands. Only those ministers, pastors, preachers, seminary students raised their hands. So all of you are part-time? You see, it has affected us. And we draw the line very clearly. This is sacred. This is secular. Sacred is for God. Secular is for myself, for the world, for my job, for my career, for my family. There's no such thing. What we see here, it ought to be sacred all the time. Doesn't matter whether you're in a church or whether you're working out there in the world. It is still sacred. It is still sacred. Your work is for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not for your company. It's not for your boss. You serve Him with single-mindedness, like Paul says. To serve Him, not to be man pleasers, but to be God pleasers. So there's no such thing as secular for a child of God. There's no such thing as being a part-time Christian. All of us are full-time. Our bodies are living sacrifice. What does Paul mean by this bodies? Is it our physical body? Yes. Remember what Paul says there in 1 Corinthians? That in whatsoever we do, whether we eat or whether we drink, it is all for the glory of God. We tend to look at big things. To us, big things matters. But you know what? God is also interested in your small things. To many, during the time of the Apostle Paul, body is something evil. Material is evil. God is not interested in your bodies. God is not interested in your material. God is only interested in your spiritual. That's a wrong concept. That's a Grecian concept. That's a world concept. Some religious group emphasize spirit, spirit, spirit. But beloved, bodies as well. Remember, our temple, our body is a temple of God. Every part of us. And so I like the song that is written by that dear lady. Be it your eyes, be it your ears, be it your mouth, be it your hands, be it your silver and your gold. All these are to be presented to the Lord. Someone says, the offering of our bodies is not the offering of our bodily looks, but our bodily behavior. The body that is given to us is to be made visible the beauty of Christ. It's not your looks that God is interested in. It is your behavior, your bodily behavior. When a non-believer look at you, who do they see? I know we want to be nice, we want to be presentable, we want to be a little refined. But ultimately, who do they see? when you start speaking, when you start reacting, when you respond, when you interact, who do people see in you? Here the author says, this body is given to us to make visible the beauty of Christ. Oh, we need to be very conscious of that. Remember, it's not about you. It's about God. So whatever we do, beloved, we just need to set our attention and our focus. God, I'm doing this for you. I'm very conscious when I drive. You know, keep to the speed limit. I remember there was once in Singapore, you know, along highway, this van was traveling at very, very, very high speed. You know, it was just cutting in and out and without signaling, he was just cutting into people's lanes. And of course, it went ahead of me. And right behind the van, Jesus is Lord. For the first time, I went after him. I overtook him. I cut into his lane without signaling. He was flashing, honking. He passed by, I showed him the Bible. What a testimony. Beloved, our body is given to us to make visible the beauty of Christ. And that's the reason why Paul says, I beseech you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And of course, God wants it to be holy. God wants it to be acceptable to him. He is the one that we are offering to. He is the one that we are laying it upon the altar. He is the one that we're coming to this morning. And we want to be conscious that he stands here ready to be received, ready to be worshipped, ready to be pleased, ready to be exalted by God's people. And we want to be conscious of that, and we want to focus upon him. And all this that you do, it's an act of your worship to God. What's our gift to God this morning? Would it be a once a week physical presence on the Lord's Day and that's it? Or maybe you try a little bit more, come for prayer meeting, come for Bible studies, help in the things of the church, sing in the choir. Is that all? Beloved, it has to be a living sacrifice. Remember what it means. That not only should it be just physical presentation to God, once and for all, it's impossible. We struggle sometimes with making sacrifices. We struggle when we want to do the will of God. We ask God so many times. You know, the favorite excuse people will normally give when you're asked to serve, let me pray about it. And they never get back to their decision, what are you going to do about their life? But beloved, if we realize that what we are doing, no matter how small, is for God, it will make all the difference. You will put your heart and your soul in it. And you will not care whether people are looking at you or not. And you're just quietly serving God, just happy doing all this for him. It should never be a difference between being in the church and out there in the world. You should consistently be yourself, offering as an act of worship. I read a little book by a person by the name of, people call him Brother Lawrence, someone who served in the monastery years ago. He was a cook in a monastery. But in his book, he writes his journal daily. And one of those caught my attention. It doesn't matter whether I'm in a kitchen or I'm in a place of prayer or worship. It's the same. It's the same. If I give this 100% in church, in worship, in prayer, in service, holy service, I give 100% as well when I cook my meals. That's the right attitude of Christians, beloved. And that's what God wants from us. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Do it so that God may be pleased with you. We are told in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, let me just quickly come to this last verse here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It is really because of what Jesus has done for us that our little sacrifices that we give to God is acceptable. It must come through Christ. And that's the reason why Paul, in this 12, came to this conclusion. Therefore, after he has taught them in the last 11th chapter of Romans, that's a response. That's a practical application for a child of God who have tasted the grace, the mercy of God. Beloved, we would not want to be ungrateful. We should never feel, well, you saved me, I'm happy, on my way to heaven, I can just do what I like and live the way I like. No more, beloved. He owns us. We are His and His forever. And so everything that we do, we are conscious that it ought to be as an act of worship to Him, because He alone is worthy. May God help us. May God challenge you and me every day. When you wake up in the morning, God, this is your day. And what a privilege to live for you and for your glory. May God stamp His word upon our hearts. Let us pray. Father, this morning, as we come into the house, Lord, you know our hearts so well. We cannot camouflage. We cannot conceal ourselves. We cannot deceive you in any way. You know our thoughts as well. Father, we just pray that your words once again will speak to our hearts. Draw us, Lord, unto yourself. Father, what we are desiring to do is only for your glory, for so much that you have given us. What we are doing is just so insignificant. But nevertheless, you pay attention. But nevertheless, you will be pleased if all these are done with great gratitude from our hearts. Father, bless your people. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for your patience.